Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Congregation may be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, this morning we're going to be looking at the gospel lesson, which of course we know as the Emmaus Walk. And it is the one in which there were disciples that were walking to Emmaus, the little town, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And there, amongst the road, they were talking about the things that had happened, the events that had gone on over the past 3 days. And yet there, Jesus appears to them and walks beside them. And of course, they did not recognize him. They did not see who he was. They did not realize who he was. And he enters into the conversation and finds out what it was that they were saying and trying to figure out. Because you can imagine how, even in this time, these disciples that had followed him, these people that knew what was supposed to happen, they had heard the words of Scripture. They had known that they had heard the words that Christ would have to suffer and that he would have to raise again, that these things would have to happen. But yet, for some reason, like most of us, we might hear these words, but sometimes they don't always sink in, do they? Oftentimes we hear the words of Scripture, how they teach us how to live our lives, the way that we are to handle things, how when difficulties come along, we hear the words of Scripture, but yet, do we listen? Oftentimes not. And so here it was, Jesus was with them and walking with them, and he told them, he says, oh, foolish, you didn't believe, you didn't hear, didn't you realize that these things had to happen? And of course, they continued. And as they said, while they were walking, the word of God burned in their hearts. They knew something was going on here, but they didn't quite know what it was. And then, of course, as they arrived at their destination, what happened? Well, they invited Jesus in. He was going to go on, and they sat down. They sat down to a meal, and when he broke bread, and when he had blessed it, when he had given thanks for it, their eyes were opened, and they realized that it was Jesus that was among them. And of course, when they realized who he was, he vanished. And they had, because they had that word burning in their hearts, they had to run back and tell. And so this is the Emmaus story. We hear an awful lot about it. We hear an awful lot of people that kind of bring us the different aspects of it. But do we really understand what the Emmaus is all about? Do we really understand that it's about Jesus Christ, the one who does things differently than we do? How God does things in his own way. In fact, our ways are not his ways, as he tells us. And that's really what this is about. It is really about hope. Where is it that our hope is found? And once we realize and we see it, what then do we do? It kind of really reminds me about a little story. And this little story is really kind of what is our expectation. Because we all have different expectations of God. In fact, the world tells us what our expectations about God is supposed to be. But do we really understand what they should be? It's about expectations. Well, this little boy, let me tell you the story. This little boy was 5 years old. And his mom and dad decided that they were going to take a trip. They lived in Dallas, Texas, and so they were going to get the family together, and they were going to take a trip out to see the Grand Canyon. So they went, and they told the little boy, and they said, we're going to go, and we're going to go on a trip, and we're going to go see the Grand Canyon. It's really an awesome thing for you to see. And you see, this Grand Canyon is bigger than Dallas itself. It's going to be awesome. So they put the family in the car, and they hopped in the car, and they drove on up. And finally, they got to their destination, and they all got out. And there's this one place at the Grand Canyon where you can kind of stand there and look over. You know, we see it in movies an awful lot of times. And so they were standing there with the family, and here this little five-year-old boy was looking over it. And then you saw his head kind of go down, and he just kind of had a sad look on his face. And his mom and his dad looked at him and said, well, what's wrong? I said, we told you about this Grand Canyon and everything. And he says, well, I thought you said Grand Cannon, and I wanted to shoot it. See, the thing about it is that oftentimes when our expectations are not met, we become disappointed. In fact, in our prayer that we prayed here there just a little bit ago, we oftentimes talk about how we have expectations of God that really are beyond what really God is and how He works with us. You certainly know that from this Emmaus walk, don't you? From these disciples? Because they kind of had the world view of what God should be. What salvation and what this whole idea of who Jesus was supposed to, what He was supposed to do and how He was supposed to act. You see, the world sees things in might and power, doesn't it? In fact, when we understand nations that are powerful, it's all based upon their cannons, isn't it? It's all based upon their guns and all those kind of things. And really, what they expected to be for the Redeemer to do was to come in with a show of force, with a show of might. They thought that Jesus was going to come with swords wheeling, and He was going to put together a great army that was going to conquer Rome, and then He would become the king, and there He would rule. But that's really not the story, is it? They really didn't expect that redemption came from death on a cross. Sure, they had heard the scriptures, but were their ears open to it? They thought that their redemption was come from a mighty king. That's what they saw Jesus being. But yet redemption comes through the love, the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ on the cross. By Him placing Himself and lowering Himself. Certainly they didn't have the idea of Him coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. They thought that He would come in on a mighty steed. And so when Jesus was actually placed on that cross in order to do the work of salvation, they did not see the power and they did not understand what the cross meant. So here they are on the day of resurrection, talking about the events and finding that really they didn't see their hope. In fact, they said they had hoped that this would be the Redeemer. Well, see, little did they understand, as Jesus said, foolish. This foolish understanding. Because we have to remember once again that God's ways are not our ways. And that our expectations sometimes are different than that of what God does. You see, what we think of a lot of times is we want the vending machine form of Jesus, right? You know, when you go to a vending machine and you want a Coca-Cola, you take a dollar, you put it in, and it comes out. You get what you want. And so we think that what happens is that all we've got to do is whenever we want to take Jesus off the shelf, we just put our hands together and we just simply pray. And Jesus is going to spit out everything that we want. That whatever prayer we put in, we're going to get out what we want. That's what the world tells us, isn't it? Isn't that what it is? If you just simply pray hard enough, if you just want it hard enough, that God's going to give it to you? That's what the theology of glory teaches us. That's what some of those people that are out there want to try to tell us. That what we got to do is we have to look at God, and what we have to do is when we're ready for it, we just simply pray for it and God's going to bring it. I still don't see my Ferrari out there. Doesn't work. Doesn't work at all. But see, that's the thing about it is that what it happens is the way that we do it. And so when we don't see those things happen, we become disappointed. Not understanding what the Word of God truly is. Not facing the Word of God the way that it should be. And so what do? We go on and we lose hope. Right? But all in all, then the question has to have we really heard the Scriptures? Have we really listened to what God tells us? Have we really heard God's Word? Have we really seen what Easter is all about? Because it is there that the victory is won. You know, once again, we say the world is supposed to do it. And if you really take a look at it, Christianity is the only one that's different. If you take a look at the Muslim way of doing things, if you look at Islam, what does it say? Well, their God tells them that what they have to do is they have to convert somebody. And if somebody doesn't convert, then what you need to do is you need to force them to do it. You need to cram it down their throat. And if they still won't accept it, well then, that's right. Kill them. You see, that's the way the world expects things to happen, right? If they won't do it, force it. That's not the way God does it. How is it that God responds to us? He responds to us in love. And I don't mean the plastic kind of Hallmark love that we talk about today, the self-centered love. But I talk about what true love is all about, the action of sacrifice, sacrificial living, sacrificial love, which means that you give yourself for that other person. And see, Jesus, that's what Jesus did on the cross, is he showed us what sacrificial love was. Yet when we were still sinners, yet when we were still his enemy, he yet died for us in order to take away our sins. That certainly isn't the expectation of the world. And I think sometimes that's what our expectation is. Well, gosh, if it doesn't happen the way that I want it to, then God should force it on them. But that's not what he does. What he does is he uses the simple things. After all, when we get together, and if we're trying to build a company or something like that, and we want to put employees in it, what do? We go and try to get the brightest and the best, don't we? We take a lot of resumes, and we want to make sure that they got the proper education. We want to know that they're educated and all this kind of thing to do the work. That's our expectation. But was that the expectation of God? After all, take a look at who he calls to do his work. Did he call college professors? Did he call the smartest of the rabbis? No, he brought simple fishermen, tax collectors. He brought people that didn't meet the expectation of the world and probably don't meet our expectations as well. Even worse than that, look at who he's brought to do it. Look who else he calls. Simple people. Actually, some of the greatest work that's done in the kingdom of God is done through Nicholas and people like Nicholas. Sometimes the greatest work in the kingdom of God can be done through children. It can be done with simple people. People that are just simple teachers, organists, nannies, maids. Sure, he uses all people to be able to bring it, but it's not the expectation that we have. And you see, that's what we have to understand about this whole Emmaus thing, is that what God does is he does things differently. And what we have to do is we have to stop listening to the world and listen to the words of Jesus Christ, to allow those words to burn within our hearts, to understand that our ways are not God's ways and that our expectations are not God's expectations. The thing about it is that all we've got to do is look at the history of even our congregation, see the ways in which God and the miracles that we've done. We've all seen those. We've seen those miracles in our congregation. Here just last week, we saw the miracle of holy baptism that happened when two people were brought up here and they were changed, they were made anew through Jesus Christ. We hear other situations, like in our bulletin, where we hear of Marlene Thompson, who has been struggling with cancer for nearly 3 years, gets the diagnosis that she's in remission, that it's been put away. That's the work of God. That's the work of Jesus Christ. But the thing about it is sometimes we think that that's the way that it always is. Sometimes we expect that every time. Just like I said, the vending machine, Jesus, we put the prayer in. What do we get out? Sometimes that's not his will. And the reality of it is that all of us are going to leave this planet at some time. But see, we have to understand that the real work, the real victory, is not that vending machine prayer. But it's the prayer that we give from the heart, realizing that everything works for the good of those who love him, and he showed it to us by his sacrifice on the cross. And to realize as Christians, the true healing in our lives, the true miracle, is that today we can all call ourselves. And that's the miracle. That's the work that was done on the cross, because it was there that he cleansed us of our unrighteousness. It was there that he took our sins away and gave us the power to become the children of God. It's there that he gave us a reason to believe. It was there that he gave us our hope. Because the hope is this, that for all those who believe in Jesus Christ, he now gives the power to become the children of God and to live life forever with him. whether it be in this world, which is just a short thing, or whether it be in heaven with him. You see, the reality of it is, and I didn't really even think about this until Sunday school today, is the reality of it is, as God continues to show his sacrificial love, his greatest sacrifice was putting Jesus on the cross. But he still sacrifices. Every day, by you being here in this place, he sacrifices. Because where would he rather you be? With him. Every day. To see him face to face. To walk with him. To be in relationship with him. But yet he puts us down here in order to do the works of the disciples. To do the work here so that we may share that message out in the world. So that we may tell others about Jesus Christ. So that they may know and they may be able to join us when death comes. And so it is a sacrifice that God chooses for a short time to live without us face to face. But his promise is always this, that he is always there, he is always there, he's always there present. You see, that's what the Emmaus guys didn't realize there at first. It wasn't until they saw him face to face and was right in front of him. It was when he went to the table, just like we're going to do here in a few moments, to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's when they said, when he broke the bread and when he blessed it and he gave thanks, their eyes were opened. And it should be the same thing for us. We should have the same reaction that when we come to the table today, that our eyes are opened once again. To realize that there we are seeing Jesus face to face. He's there and he's present with us, just as he always is, as he always promises. And it's there that we should have that burning desire to go out from our place. See, they had already made it back to where they were going. They already went to Emmaus. They were already where they needed to be. But then they realized that their work wasn't done. So immediately when Jesus vanished, they got up and they ran back to tell. And that should be our desire. When we receive his body and blood, we receive that forgiveness of sin. It's there that our eyes are open. We understand that we are face to face with Jesus Christ. And it's there where the true expectations should come. That we truly expect Jesus to be with us. And there, he never fails. In fact, it's there that he shows us our hope. And so as Jesus' people, as we continue to celebrate Easter, as we make that Emmaus journey to sit with Jesus and break bread, let us have that same burning desire in their heart, in our hearts, that they had in theirs. Let us open our ears to Jesus' words. Let us take away our earthly expectation and take that hope, that hold of that hope that Jesus gives us. May we have the desire to drop everything and tell the world. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds centered and focused on Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.